do like a Mississippi Sawyer or something like that?
Okay.
Hold on. Wait till he's ready.
I'll introduce you here in just a second. I think we're about ready to go. Let me introduce you to Mr. Richard Seaman. He was born in Kissimmee Park, Florida in 1904. And I thought that was real interesting because we've got some people over here in the cow camp who were from like that same area of the country he grew up in, and there's some nice little conversation about what it was like to live up in Kissimmee Park and Lake Tahoka, Calaiva back then. He moved to Jacksonville in the 1920s and played different dances, barbershops, on the radio. He had a family band together called the Southland Trail Riders, and the fiddle laid up on the shelf for about 30 years for a while till Jack came up and got in touch with him and got him back into this again. So he's been playing again since about 1985, 86, somewhere around there. Yeah, and I'm real glad to have Jack Piccolo with us. Jack's a banjo picker and a guitar player. He lives in Jacksonville, and he's going to back him up. And I thought maybe what we'd do is have some tunes, and then we'll ask him some questions, reminisce a little bit, and give you an idea here of our Florida Folk Heritage Award winner here, one of the winners. And he'll be presented on stage at 6:15 on the main stage, and then afterward we'd like to invite everybody up to the amphitheater over here for reception as honor, and you can talk to him there and meet the other five award winners. So you want to start off with Mississippi Sawyer? Just a second. Okay, fiddle mic's not quite ready yet.
Hold on just one second. You want him to play into this?
Bobby Henry is here somewhere. He might be down in the Seminole area, but...
No, I heard him.
Okay. Do you want to help look for him? Or he's nice at 3:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I don't have to do anything but sort of enjoy this here. Could you tell us a little bit about how you first got your start playing the fiddle? And if I were to go to a house party down in Kissimmee Park about 80 years ago, can you tell me what I would see if I would go there?
Well, when I was in the part of Florida I was born in, we now below Kissimmee, a place called Kissimmee Park. In those days, we didn't have any automobiles. There was no paved roads, the streets. And, we had very little entertainment. If you got any music, somebody had to play it. We didn't have any radio, television those days. But I was a small boy. So, to have some little excitement, they'd have a square dance or a picnic. And I used to go and listen to them old fellas play the fiddle. When I was a boy, I didn't care about dancing. I thought that was silly. But I liked to hear that fiddle play. There's only two, three down there could play it. And they didn't have any really coaching or learning, only what they heard other people's play, and that's how I got started. I'd listen to them play. And then when I go home, I get my daddy's fiddle down and try to remember what it was. And that went on for quite a while. till I got to where I could play with the two twos before radio came in. And then after radio came in, and we could hear the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night, then I began to really take notice of the different tunes that they played. And that's the way I got started, by just listening to other people play.
I know that one of the tunes that was real popular back then in Kissimmee Park was a tune called Share 'em.
What's that?
The tune called Share 'em?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a tune called Share 'em that most everybody knew. That if you went to a square dance, that's what you heard. Some of the old fiddlers didn't know but that one tune, I guess. I don't know. They didn't do it very well. But they'd sit there and saw away all that, and they'd dance up a fall. And that was the first tune I learned to play.
Can we hear what it sounds like now? Can we have a sample of what it sounds like and hear, Sharon?
Play it.
Could we hear it? Could we hear, Sharon?
Yeah. Yeah, that's simple. What key is that?
A D. That's the first tune I ever learned to play. Because that's all I ever heard.
Now, when was that?
Well, as time went along, and I began to notice that I could play a tune or two, which wasn't very good, the radio came in gradually along as I grew up. And listening to Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night was a grand thing. And what would be the worst thing could happen to anybody would be a storm or a thunderstorm that night. And the static would be so thick you couldn't get nothing. So we'd have to wait until the next week, hoping it didn't rain. And then later on we got record players, and as the years went along, and we could buy these disc records to put on these machines. We used to have the old cylinder record you slipped on there. And you only had one tune on a record, but with a little disc, you could play both sides, so you get two.
Progress.
Oh, yeah. So going along like that, playing for square dances, and just keep on wanting love to play. Well, I did it to where I could play a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to leave Kissimmee Park and head up to Jacksonville in the 1920s?
Well, it's hard to explain because people nowadays couldn't realize what it is to be without electricity, without roads, without a car. And us boys grew up, we didn't have any way to go unless we had a horse to ride or walk. And after I began to get up in my teens, in the middle and late teens, I realized that staying down there for a dollar a day, working in an orange grove or working with cattle, you never got anywhere. So I decided to leave home and try my luck somewhere else. So my sister lived in Jacksonville, and her husband worked in a railroad. So that's where I headed. I stayed with them a while and finally got a job on it to the railroad, and I worked for that for 44 years. And I think I did pretty good. I got a good pension. and everything I have, I own the house and everything. And so I don't have to answer to nobody. So I just sit down and play the fiddle.
That sounds like a song cue, doesn't it? Would you like to play?
It took a long time to do that. Now, when I first started buying that place, they wanted $2,400 for it. I was a lot. I didn't have $2,400. But I was working, and I was paying $16 a month rent on it. And the man that owned it told me he'd sell it to me if I'd pay him $20 right, nothing down. So $20 a month I paid him until I paid it off. Then, just before I got it paid off, the World War was on, Second World War. And I worked all the overtime I could at the shop. Every chance I could get to work any overtime that night, I'd work. Sometimes my kids didn't see me, because I'd leave in the morning before they got up and they'd get back till after midnight, you know. But anyhow, I got the place paid for. And everything is rocking along real good. All I got to worry about is this old fiddle. I was married twice. My first wife died in 87. My second wife died last year, or the first of this year. So that left me back where I started from. All I got is my fiddle.
Would you like to play us a waltz on your fiddle? You're telling me sometimes that you go to these square dances and people would play tricks on the dancers. And I was wondering if you could tell me about one of the tricks that somebody would play on them as they were out dancing.
Well, since we had to use a horse and buggy, that was aristocrats. Us poor folks had to walk. But anyhow, they'd go to a dance and have their horses. Had buggies, a horse and wagon, or a saddle horse tied under some shady trees. We'd go out there and take the horse and buggy, take the horse out and turn him around, put him back in the shed. You know, all of it we could. And then about 1 or 2 o'clock or later, they'd all be tired, go home. go out there and jump at the horse would be looking at you. But I ain't going to tell you what some of them said. But anyhow, some of them didn't seem to like it. One time we had a traveling preacher used to come out there. We didn't have a church, but we had a schoolhouse. And once in a while, they'd get, you know, 65 to have a church out. But the preacher would come by on a horse and buggy. The old traveling preachers used to make their living by going through the country around. And whenever it come nighttime, the old farmer would put his horse up and feed him. Next morning, he'd give him some feed, hook him back up with the preacher. The preacher did all that for nothing. And they'd give him a little money. So they had got a picnic, and they had it at the schoolhouse. And so the ladies made all kind of pies and cakes and carried them there. There was an old broke-down table set out there just a waste of time. been there for years. And they put their cakes and pies and what have you on there, and then they put a clean bed sheet over them to keep the flies and gnats out. And so some of them made a punch. They got a big bowl, they took oranges and they took grapefruit, and they took tangerines, everything they could we had there, and squeezed it all up in there and put some, sprinkle some coconut in it and raisins or two. Oh, it was wonderful. Well, they covered that over with a nice to keep the insects out. Waited for the preacher. The preacher's late getting there. And when he got there, everybody had about starved to death. So they went ahead and went to eat. But the preacher got him a big glass of that punch. Meanwhile, though, I didn't tell you that, somebody over there slipped a pint of moonshine in the punch. Yeah. And stirred it up. Got away with it. I don't know who done it. I wouldn't tell nobody.
Wonder.
Well, they got it out there to eat first, for the huge, and he was going to deliver a sermon. And we all standing around there. They went to eat. Preacher, he got him a glass of that punch, and boy, he liked that. He wanted to know who made it. Oh, he wanted to congratulate those ladies who made such a good. That was wonderful. So he just laid on that punch. So he went in there and delivered the he delivered the sermon for about an hour and a half. And some of the old folks that knew him well said he preached one of the best sermons they ever heard that day. And when he went down to get his buggy, his horse was looking at him. Oh, it wasn't all. We had a lot of fun. I know a couple boys that had to eat them, eat off the mantelpiece for a couple of days, too. Fisher didn't. He preached a sermon on love, but he didn't dish it out.
Would you like to play another tune?
Yeah.
Okay, another hoedown?
Thank you.
a good old tune that we played for square dances a whole lot because it had a good bounce to it. And some of them old country boys out there in them woods, they didn't dress up to go to a square dance. When they got off of work, set up the stock and went. Of course, everybody had stock to feed up, horses, mules, hogs, so forth. And then they'd get a sip or two of that white lightning. And I tell you, things picked up in there. The little country boys got rough. Yeah, that's what we'd play for them. Fiddler, he'd have to back up in the corner and get out of the way. They'd run over him.
Did they ever use the fiddle beaters on the fiddle?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us what that's like, how they did that?
Well, I don't have mine with me, but while you were playing, you take somebody would take them two sticks, little sticks about that long, oh, maybe 3/8 of an inch diameter or something, and whittle them down. And then they stand off that beat on the strings, you know, while you played. They call fiddle beaters.
Yeah. Fiddle sticks?
Well, it sort of took the place of a company, but it wasn't much.
Yeah. Would that help them keep the time going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you could take two broomsticks, dance to that.
Two what?
Two broomsticks.
Two broomsticks?
Show them off. Uh-huh. Now you just tip them, player sit on the floor where there's no rug. You go tap, 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 and that gets the beat going. Uh-huh. That's all they needed.
So if the fiddler couldn't keep time, they could be replaced by somebody hitting down two broomsticks on the floor.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I never care too much about it, but, well, I see it done a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, the fun that we had to make it. And, of course, it was simple, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. You take, they'd have a picnic there once in a while. And we'd go down to the lake, which wasn't too far from there. Somebody had a seine, and seine up some fish, and we had a fish fry. And the ladies would take the cakes and pies and whatever, and you know, the men would fry the fish. We'd have a big time. And it didn't cost a cent. Go out there and have all kind of fun. It didn't cost you a cent. Mm-hmm. You go uptown out there now to go in and have some fun at night, you pay some money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, it was fun. Mm-hmm. We got by with it. But I left and come up to Jacksonville. I was about 20 years, I guess, old. And I had to learn to live all over again. The people down there had a lingo of their own, which wasn't too nice sometimes. That's all the way they knew.
Uh-huh.
Well, people didn't have automobiles to travel, so we didn't know what them people over in the next county was doing, see. So we just, they finally, their figure of speech was pretty rough. They didn't think nothing about it. Now, when I left home, went up to Jacksonville, and all them young people up there my age was talking about their going to college next year, there's all of this, and their proms and their high school picnics. I didn't know what they were talking about. They asked me where I went. I couldn't tell them anything, because I'd never been there.
Uh-huh. When you moved up to Jacksonville, where did you find the play? What kind of places did you play out?
Oh,
because you wouldn't play house
back
parties
then,
that way.
You could, they would have square dances, a lot of it, in west part of Jacksonville.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, now they got fine furniture, they don't want to move it out of the house. But them days, they had, if you had a table and an old homemade rug, and that way you just move them out, roll the rug up, throw it in the back porch.
Uh-huh. Could you tell us about your days with the Melody Makers on the radio? Was that Tom Acosta you played with, or?
When I started up here, they was fiddlers all over the place, like it is today. And I just fill in with them, you know. And I'd go from one place to another, like I spent here today. You go over there in that corner, and there'd be somebody playing over there. Maybe over here several blocks away, there'd be a couple up in a barbershop sitting in there playing. But they liked that because that brought trade in, you know. and you could play at a grocery store after Prohibition, they'd give you a bottle of beer and sit there and play. That brought people in.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Acosta, he was sort of, his brother was some kind of a city official. They named him Acosta Bridge for him. And Tom had quite a bit of pull around town. So when Jacksonville started their broadcasting station, why him and Jack Pitts had a program they called Uncle Joe's Place. It was supposed to be at a farm. You could hear the cows mooing and the dogs barking, the cats meowing, the roosters crowing, and they called it Uncle Joe's Place, and he was in his farm. So that went on for a while. It wasn't anything extra, but it was something to do. So when I left there, times got hard, the pressure got so bad, I had to leave. I went back down home, stayed with my dad and mother down there till I could get my job back at the railroad. And that depression lasted 5 years. You get mighty hungry 5 years. Nobody wanted you around, especially at dinner time. So they had a song called Come After Breakfast, Bring On Your Lunch and I'll Leave For Supper Time. They didn't want to feed you.
Would you like to play another tune? Okay, another tune, yeah.
Up Jump Trouble. Up Jump Trouble.
Up Jump the Devil.